Now, this morning, remove not the ancient landmarks. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want to preach this morning. Maybe a little different for some of you to understand, but you stay with me, and the Lord is going to bless you. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that the word of God, as always, will bring light into our hearts. And let the name of the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let your word pierce our hearts. The Bible says the word of God is quick and is powerful. And is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God can do various things in discern between spirit and soul and so forth. Even in soul, bone and marrow. Go inside even our bodies and so forth. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Therefore, Lord, glorify thyself this morning. And let your name alone be exalted. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the message, like I said, is going to be remove not the ancient landmarks. And I'm going to start here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. And I will read one verse from verse 28. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. And this verse will say exactly what the title of this message says. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Well, what is that all about? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. What are these landmarks? Why should we not remove the landmarks? In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talks about the foundation, of the church, how it is laid upon the apostles and upon the prophets. So you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and let me read from verse 20. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, if the foundation is not right, the building will not be right. In fact, Jesus talked about that. Gave the parable of the man that built his house upon the rock and withstood the storms of life. And the other one that built his house upon the sand, when the storms came up, the house fell. And great was the fall of that. Now, if the foundation is strong, the house also will be solid. And the Lord is telling us in this message, don't remove that foundation.
Amen.
That land, those landmarks that the apostolic fathers have set. There's a reason for how God did the things the way he did. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm just going to lay a background, but I will reveal a very important part of this message in a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, let me read to you from verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, now this is Paul, the apostle, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build upon that foundation. For no other foundation can be laid other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, well, you may not, know what the foundation really is, and I'm hoping that you will in this message. But if you're trying to build on a foundation that's not solid, or if you go and remove the solid foundation, tear down the foundation and build something else, that house is definitely not going to stand. Now, in the early church, I don't have time to go into the history of the church, but in the early church, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, If you will turn to verse 42, in the early church, here's what they did. The Bible said they continued in the Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, you know, the doctrines of the apostles were based on the doctrine of Christ himself. Because Paul said it, we're built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, but Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone that holds everything together. Hallelujah. You know, so, and the doctrine of the apostles included signs and wonders. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles. You know, a church that doesn't have signs and wonders, doesn't have miracles, doesn't have these things that were done in the early church, is a paralyzed church at best. You know, and, you know, today, you know, there's no power. The Bible says there are many people that, you know, have a form of godliness in the last days, but they deny the power thereof, you know. But the power goes back to the foundation. Paul said, look, you know, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And, you know, so all the things that the early church did, they were together, verse 14, they were together praising God and having favor with all the people, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? Because they were following the apostles' doctrines and God was adding to the church. Now, today we are praying for revival. You know, I hear people, myself included, praying for revival all the time. But first things first, we got to go back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot remove the ancient landmarks. You know, you got to go back. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest to your souls. So God, you know, is the Ancient of Days. You know, he's the same yesterday, Hebrews 13 and 8, today and forever. Hallelujah. You know, the way that God did things before, that's the way he's going to do them now too. You know, now there may be you know, additional revelation, especially prophetic events. Because as time goes on, the Bible already said, knowledge shall increase at the end, you know, concerning understanding of prophetic events and so forth like that. But, you know, the doctrines and the, you know, and the things that are in the Bible, things that are of sound doctrine and so on in the Bible, and how people get saved and so forth like that, that's the way God did in the Bible, and that's the way it's going. He's going to do it now. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, in the early church, they believed in repentance. Praise the Lord. Peter preached that. He said, repent ye on the day of Pentecost. Repent ye and be converted, and then be baptized. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, today, we hear people that say, well, there's no Holy Ghost. You know, all you got to do is be saved and so forth like that. Well, that's not the tradition of the apostles. They believed in the being saved. They also believed in receiving the Holy Ghost. In fact, Paul, finding certain disciples in Acts 19 who were already saved, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Those people didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but they were already believers. You know, so the foundation of the apostles included people believing in the Holy Ghost. They believed in the gifts of the Spirit. Paul wrote about it. Many chapters in the Bible about the gifts of the Spirit and so forth. They believed in the power of God. You know, and the Bible says how God wrought special miracles through the hands of Peter and Paul and so forth. They did great things. Even the shadow of Peter healed the sick. Handkerchiefs were taken from the body of Paul and delivered many, you know, devils and so forth from people. You know, they believed in the power of God. They believed in the workings of God. They believed in the miracles of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we are told to go back to the old ways and search out the good paths and so forth. That's a good way, you know, the way, you know, they, you know, God did things and so forth in the past. You know, it's the same way he's going to do things again. You know, I know that new generation, every new generation that comes, You know, typically they want to condemn the traditions of the past and say, well, you know, those such things are old. You know, we got to find new light and so forth. Well, that's good sometimes. But not if the good, not if the old paths were the good way. Amen. If the old paths were the good way, you better stay with the old paths. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and I stand here today in the name of the Lord to tell you that the good paths, I mean the old paths, were the good way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. All you have to do is look around this generation today. You know, today, you know, now, you know, they are glorifying homosexuality. They are glorifying pornography. They are glorifying everything else. Now, that's what this generation is. You see? But in the good old days, you know, people cringed at those things. You know, people, I mean, sodomy and all of these things were taboo. I mean, were forbidden. You know, it was an abomination to people. You know, and so forth. You know, but today, you know, they have all these things going on now and so forth, and everybody thinks that it's okay. Well, it is not okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to go back to the old ways, folks. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Amen. You know, and it's the same thing even in evangelical circles. You know, we got to go back to the old ways. Hallelujah. You know, God saved the people through the power of the Holy Ghost, the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and so forth. It's not just by music. It's not just by coming up with some, you know, glittering things and all these other things. Music is great as a form of worship. David was a man of music. He appointed singers, and he gave instructions of how people should appoint singers down through the ages. And they followed, and that's wonderful and so forth. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. And let me tell you that the gospel of God includes power, includes deliverance. If you don't think that the gifts of the Spirit are necessary anymore, then you've already missed the mark. See? Praise the Lord. Because God said that these gifts must be operating in the church until we all come to the unity of faith and until we come unto, you know, the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. That's in Ephesians chapter 4. You can read that from verses 11 through 13. But let me read to you here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60. There are many things that God wants us to do. Now, one of it in this message is for us to arise and shine. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, now, gross darkness shall cover the people. Darkness will be upon the world, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, from verse 1. He said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings. So he goes down to describe, you know, what the gospel is all about. And this is the gospel. The gospel is, you know, you preach the good tidings to the meek. You bind up the brokenhearted. You proclaim liberty to the captives. And opening of the prison to them that are bound. All of these things must be part of the gospel. You proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, and so on. You appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Give unto them beauty for ashes. Oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness and so forth. These are the things that must be happening. This is the way that the Lord ordained it. This is the good old way, and this is the way it must be. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, verse 4 is where I'm going with this message. You know, why do you think it is important for, and you know, why is God calling that people should go back? Listen to this. Verse 4 says, and they shall build the old wastes, and they shall raise up the former desolations. Now, it's talking about they here, because some people would argue and say, this scripture is talking about Christ. Well, they is not Christ. Hallelujah. Christ went to the temple. He read this scripture. He read a part of it. And he said, this day is that scripture fulfilled. Well, that's his part. This part here is for us. Because it is plural. They shall build the old waste places. And they shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities. And the desolations of many generations. Basically, they shall repair and bring back the ancient landmarks. The things which are done gone. The things which people have, you know, refused. God has to bring them back for real revival. Listen to this. In the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 11. And this will give it to you more clearly. In that day, saith the Lord, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is falling down. And I will close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up again his ruins. And I will build it as in the days of old. Why is God always going back to the ancient things? Because he is the ancient of days. Hallelujah. He's always going back to the way it was. You know, and there's new programs and new things and so forth, and those are wonderful, but we got to go back to the ancient ways. Hallelujah. God said, I will bring back the ruins of old, the things that people have, you know, disregarded because they said that's old stuff. God said, that's the stuff that I will raise up in the last day, and I will close the breaches thereof. And I will rebuild the ruins and build it again as in the days of old. Now, this same scripture is quoted in Acts chapter 15. And I like this rendition in Acts chapter 15, the way, you know, the apostle, when he was speaking and so forth, you know, and he spoke about this. And listen to this, Acts 15, verse 16. He says, after this I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Why? So that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Can you say praise the Lord? The Lord does these things so that those of us that remain at the end of the age, you see, that's the residue of man, should seek after the Lord. And God knows exactly what he is doing. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 62 and verse 10, this is a commandment for those of us that believe the word of God and unto whom God has put the mantle of grace in these last days. He says, go through and go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. Now, this is not exactly setting up a standard. We are not setting up a standard. We are just lifting up the standard that was already set. Hallelujah. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The standard was already set. You know, in fact, Paul talked about it in Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. He said, after the way that is called heresy. Amen. Put up the scripture if you will. Acts 24 and verse 14. This I say unto you, that after the way that is called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets. Hallelujah. Some people may call it heresy, but I believe all the things that are in the prophets and all the things that are in this book. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, in the last days, the Bible says they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will have itching ears and they will heap to themselves teachers and so forth like that. You know, but I tell you what, you know, the power of God is real. You know, and for us to have real revival, it's not head knowledge, but real revival must come by going back, seeking out the good old ways, and standing in a good path, wherein is the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Listen to this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 12. And there are so many scriptures over and over that say this same thing. Isaiah 58 and verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Why does he keep talking about rebuilding the former foundations? You know, build the old waste places, raise up the foundations, see, of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. The bridge that's already broken down, you will be the repairer. God is going to put the anointing upon his children, and some anointed ones at the end of the age to do these things. Amen. And you'll be called the restorer of paths to dwelling. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's restorer. That's not, restorer means, you know, for you to restore something, it means it was already there one time, but it's gone or forgotten. So you bring it back. So those paths were there before. That's a good old path. They were there before, they're gone, but we have to restore them. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And we will be talking more about the good old paths and the good old ways. Praise the Lord. And Paul, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, he put it right straight out there. I have laid this foundation and let nobody, you know, change it. In fact, if you preach another gospel, he said, let him be accursed. You see, this gospel must be a gospel of power. Has to be the way that they did it in the old days. Praise the Lord. Now, what did the early church do? Well, in Acts chapter 2, the early church, they were there. In fact, that's the birth of the church. They received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that they received the Holy Ghost? Praise God. And they began to speak the wonderful works of God as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. Now, that's as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I've heard today that people say, well, speaking in tongues is all gibberish, doesn't mean anything and so forth. It's all fake and so on like that. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, show me a fake dollar and I'll tell you that there is a real dollar somewhere. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You cannot have a fake unless there is something real. There is nothing to counterfeit if there is no genuine article. The only reason that there is a fake is because there is something real and then they try to counterfeit it and so forth like that. So never mind. Don't let the fake bother you and so forth. There is real power of God. There are the real gifts of God and all these things are there. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And it's not a one-time experience. I've also heard arguments that, you don't need to receive the Holy Ghost anymore as a separate experience. When you are saved, you got the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the farthest thing from the scriptures, you know, because these same people that received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, they came back. And when they were threatened, they were again filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They prayed and said, Lord, behold the threatenings of the people. And turn with me to Acts chapter 4, and let me read from verse 29. Acts chapter 4. And he said, and now, Lord, verse 29, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and as signs and wonders. See, they're always talking about signs and wonders. You know, I've heard today and people say, well, what do you worry about signs and wonders for? Because it's all over the gospel. Signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. This is the same people that received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Ghost again in Acts chapter 4. So don't you tell me that the Holy Ghost is only an experience at salvation. As a matter of fact, you know, people that don't have the Holy Ghost are the people that say such things. Praise the Lord. You know, I'll tell you a story. When I was a young man, many, many years ago, listen to this story. We had a group in Nigeria that was called the Scripture Union. The Scripture Union, they didn't believe anything, and they didn't want to believe anything at all. In fact, they made it their life's mission to go against the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. They made it their life's mission there. And there was a man, you know, who had a high rank in that Scripture Union and so forth. I had a run-in with him on a few occasions. You know, and he all went on a campaign all through the land, back in Nigeria and Lagos and so forth in those days, that, well, there is no such thing as Holy Ghost baptism. There's no such thing as speaking in tongues. There's no such thing as all of these things. You know, well, because he didn't have a Holy Ghost. So he went about saying that nobody else could have the Holy Ghost. You know, isn't that such a fool? I mean, I can't even describe it. I mean, that's so foolish. Praise the Lord. Let God be true and everyone else a liar. You can't say, you cannot limit God to your own experiences only. Just because you don't have, you can't say. Anyway, cut a long story short, this man, after many, many years, I ran into him somewhere. You know, his name was Chris something. I can't remember his last name. And I ran into him somewhere and he said, I recognized him and he recognized me because we had a few run-ins on this Holy Ghost issue and baptism and so on, the gifts of the Spirit. And after many, many years, he said, well, he started apologizing for all those things that he used to do. This is a true story. And he said, well, that now he has the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And I said, praise God. Never, better late than never. But just remember, just imagine all the things that you could have accomplished. All those years that you were fighting this through. You cannot kick against the pricks. Hallelujah. The Bible says you can't kick against the pricks, folks. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So those people that are saying that those things don't exist, well, I hope before it's too late, they will find out that it exists. Otherwise, they'll wake up in the great tribulation. That's right. And we don't want anybody in this church. See, I am not responsible for the whole world. See? And I'm not responsible even for all the churches. But God has given us responsibility. The Bible says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock of God, over whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Amen. Not as overlords, but as watching over their faith. Because we have to give account to make sure that we present ourselves and everybody as chaste virgins unto the Lord. Amen. And we don't want anybody to miss what God is doing. And we don't want anybody to miss the day of our visitation and when the Lord will say, come up hither. You know, we don't want your oil to run out either. You know, and if your oil is leaked out, you better go back to God and get some more oil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen to this in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Now, it is a very dangerous place to be, you know. If after you have tasted of the heavenly gift, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and they have tasted of the good word of God and of the powers of the world to come, if they shall turn and fall away, that's going to be a very difficult place. You know, to see that they are crucifying to themselves the Son of God afresh and putting him to an open shame. You know, so you want to be careful. You want to make sure that you always let your oil, you know, make sure you have oil in your lamp. Amen. And make sure that your oil is always burning. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let your oil always be burning. Now, I'm going to tell you a story here. And I could preach this message for a long time. I could go into so many things. And I might on future days, but not today, because we have more things to do. So I'm going to cut this message short, but I'm going to tell you a story of the importance of following the good old ways and the foundation of the apostolic fathers. Hallelujah. And that's what we are following in this church, you know, and so forth like that. And I want to tell you also something. Paul said, look, you may have 1,000 instructors and so forth, but you don't have many fathers. He said, because, you know, I have begotten you through the gospel. Well, by the grace of God, God has given us, you know, the grace, you know, to watch over your faith. And you need to follow our faith as we follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I have the boldness to declare that, because Paul did the same thing. You know, I'm not going to tell you, don't do as I do, only do as I say. No, do as I do. Amen. And do as I say. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Because even Samuel one time, he said, look, you know, I challenge any one of you to come here and tell us, you know, if we have taken any man's silver or gold or this and that and so forth like that. Or we have, you know, if we have coveted anybody and so forth. All we have done to you is speak to you the word of the Lord in the name of the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And that's all we've done here on this pulpit, is preach to you the word of the Lord in the name of the Lord. So you follow us as we follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you this story in the life of Isaac. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 26. Now, you say, Isaac, Well, yeah, you know, people don't preach too much about him and so forth like that. But I'm going to show you a principle that Isaac understood here concerning what we are talking about here in this scripture about, you know, even the scripture says, folks, he said, remember the hole from whence you are dug. Remember the rock from whence you are hewn. Go back to the old places. You know, don't come up with, you know, some new and strange stuff that is not according to the old ways, the good old ways. Genesis chapter 26. And let me read this story to you. You know, it's a long story, but I will cut it short and just read a few portions of it. Now, if you want to read the full story, you can read from verse 12 of Genesis 26 and read it down through. But I won't read all of that. I'm going to skip here to verse 17. Genesis 26 and verse 17. And Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. Now notice verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of his father Abraham. Now notice that. Isaac went back and dug the same wells that they had digged in the days of his father Abraham. Because the Philistines, which are like kind of like, you know, the devil, you know, and his army that has stolen the word of God from the people over the ages, they have plugged up, you know, those wells. After Abraham died, they sealed up those wells. They allowed those wells to dry off. They threw dirt over those wells and so forth like that, you know, and all that. They stopped them. They stopped, you know, the wells from giving water to the people. You know, now remember, you know, there is a significance to water. The Bible says washing of generation by the word, the water and the word and so forth. These things bear witness on the earth. And Jesus himself, you know, if you want to think about the washing of water by the word, Jesus himself, one time he took a towel, you know, and he began to wash the feet of the disciples. How many of you know that story? You know, that's the washing of water by the word. Because that was the word himself. And he washed their feet and so forth, signifying the significance of these things. And he told, you know, he prayed the prayer in John 17. He said, Lord, you know, I have declared to them your name. Sanctify them by your word, for your word is truth. And he began to show us that the word of God is the cleansing power. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And you cannot be cleansed, you know, from your ways. You know, the Bible says, amend your ways in Jeremiah 7. Amend your ways. Go back to the old paths and so forth. Seek out the old ways, you know, as we read. So Isaac, he dug the walls again, which his father used to do. And Isaac, and listen to this, you know, I'm not going to read the whole of verse 18. Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had called them. Now, this is something in the story of Isaac that many people may not know. Isaac went back to the old paths, the ancient landmarks, the way that Abraham did it. He went back and did it the same way. The very wells that Abraham had dug, which the Philistines came and that blown away and covered up and so forth. He went back and dug those same wells again and even called them by the same names. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, why is that story significant? Because the Lord led me to the story when I was thinking about this message. And he said, read this part. And I read it. I said, wow. You know, and I saw that, look, he went back, you know, to the good old paths. He went back to the good old ways and so forth, you know. And always, God has cautioned us, you know, he has admonished us, he has told us to go back to the old ways and so forth. And he even promised that he will raise up the ruins. He will bring back the bridges that were broken. You know, we will be the restorer of paths to dwelling. We will be the restorer, you know, of foundations of many generations. Why is all this significant? Well, It is significant because people are looking for revival. Praise the Lord. Now, let me tell you what revival means. One time, a long time ago, you know, I went to a school in Nigeria called Federal School of Science. I'll tell you the short story. And when I got there, you know, I was going around the campus. You know, it was the first few days of registration. So I was looking how to register for my classes and so forth. It was, that place is kind of like a community college, but it's a technology school, you know, before I went to university. You know, so, and then I saw something on the notice board that said, you know, some prayer meeting. So I said, oh, that's wonderful, because I needed some refreshing. I was a very young man there, probably maybe 19 or 18, I don't know, 20, you know, at the most. So I went, you know, I went to the prayer meeting. You know, I thought it was a prayer meeting, but it turned out to be a Bible study. And so when I got to the Bible study, I sat down, you know, and joined one group. They had divided into groups. And I joined one group, and they began to talk about this, and they began to talk about that. And then somebody said, well, when the revival came on the day of Pentecost, this and that and so forth. And I said, well, excuse me, there was no revival on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, because I was new, and nobody knew me. That was my first day in the meeting. And nobody knew who I was or anything like that. Everybody looked at me and so forth. And they, you know, they thought, you know, well, here comes the devil, you know, come and destroy our meeting here and so forth like that. You know, and everybody looking at me and so forth. And I said, well, hold on now before you, you know, go jumping to conclusion. I said, well, I said, the day of Pentecost was the birth of the church. And I said, that was no revival. You can't revival something that was never there. I said, that was the beginning. I said, now is when you need revival. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Well, I tell you what, that one singular statement, I left that meeting, everybody said, well, this and that. You know, those, you know, the Bible said the deep calls unto the deep. That one singular statement called unto the deep. Many people followed me after I left, just left the meeting and said, we will hear you more on that matter. And the rest is history. You know, the great things that God did in that place that year, you know, I have not seen the likes even till today. You know, now, talking about revival. Why do I say that? Because people are talking about revival. It's better we don't use the word revival or just say we're looking for something new. Because if you are talking of revival, that means you are reviving something that was there before, but it's no longer there. So if every time you talk about revival, you got to go back to the good old paths. And you got to go back to the good old ways. You must remember the ancient landmarks. And you must remember the places where you were, the rock from which you were hewn, and the hole from which you were dug. You must remember Abraham, your father. And Isaac did exactly that. He remembered Abraham, his father. He remembered the way his father did things, and he did it exactly the same way. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Well, we are spiritual fathers to this church. And we encourage and admonish you in the name of the Lord to do things the way. And you're going to be hearing more things as we go down through the next several weeks and months. Because we are approaching the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's one of the reasons why we started the Shadows of the End series. The truth of the Word of God must come out, and you need to hear these things. And we have to go back to the apostolic pattern. We have to go back to the ways of God, in order for us to have true revival. Praise ye the Lord. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. As the heavens are higher, you know, than the earth, so far above are my ways than yours. And so, don't try to think in your heart that you have all the answers. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. You know, and lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible also says, in the next few verses, it says, look, you know, get away from, in fact, let me just read it to you. Proverbs chapter 3. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3, because I love this verse. Very, very wonderful verse that has guided me for many, many years. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you are too wise in your own eyes, that may even be an evil thing. You know, fear the Lord, depart from evil. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, folks, I stand here in the name of the Lord to tell you that the good way are the old paths. And that is where there is the way. So I'm going to read it to you again as we close. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 6. And I'm going to read it to you again. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord. This is something that God wants us to do. Stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths. I want you to ask. If you don't know, come and ask. See? And so forth like that. Where is the good way? And you walk therein. Hallelujah. And don't follow these new found ways and so forth like that. Unless they are according to the scriptures, you know, and so on. But I tell you, the good old ways, the good old paths that the apostolic fathers followed, they are according to the scriptures, and they are the way that lead to life, you know, and so on. So seek those ways. Seek the good old paths, and you shall find rest to your souls. I want us to stand to our feet here this morning. This is actually a precursor to some other messages that I will be preaching. But I wanted to lay this foundation. And this is scriptural. The Bible says that they shall be, you know, called the repairers of the breach. They shall renew and restore the foundations that are broken down. So walking in unison with God, in partnership with God, God himself said, I will build up the ruins of David. And he turned around and said, these people also shall be called restorers of paths to dwelling. You know, praise the Lord. So just like Jesus, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know, so and I have understood that. You know, and by the grace of God, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, you know, to go back to the place where the apostles first lay down the foundation. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. Now, somebody once said, he said, if you miss the road, let's say you are going somewhere and you miss the road. I mean, maybe there was a fork in the road and then you miss the way. In order for you to find your way back, you may continue on the way that you've already missed, but it might probably be best for you to go back to the place where you missed the turn and then take the right turn. Or the correct turn. Amen? But if you continue down the road that is already wrong, well, when you are on the road, your destination is already determined. Praise the Lord. Whatever road you are on, that's where you are going. Wherever that road ends is where you are going. So if you are going the wrong direction, you got to get off that road. Hallelujah. And get back to the place where you missed the turn. And get on the correct turn. Because if you stubbornly keep going down the wrong path, you know, at best, the road may be a dead end or it may end. Wherever that road is going is where you're going to be, whatever road you're on. The Lord wants us to be on the paths of righteousness. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The paths of righteousness are the roads that lead to the gates of heaven. Amen. Amen. Let me say that to you again. The paths of righteousness lead to the gates of heaven. And when you are on the path of righteousness, the gates of hell will be trying to prevent you from getting to the gates of heaven. But Jesus already promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevent them when they are on the path of righteousness from getting to the gates of heaven. How many of you can say praise the Lord? I broke that down for you. You know, that's best I can explain it. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So we got to get back. There's a song that says, take me back to the place where I once received you. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I once believed. You know, and so forth like that. And Jesus counseled them and said, go back to your first love. Say, look, you've done many wonderful things. You know, told the church of Ephesus. He said, look, you have even found those who are not apostles. You've detected that they are not apostles and so on. Well, that's wonderful. You know, you've detected false prophets. That's wonderful. But you have lost your first love. And what is your first love? Well, there's a place where you first connected with God. There was a place of excitement, perhaps when you first got saved, or perhaps when you first received the Holy Ghost, and so forth like that, you know. And there was a burning, there was a yearning, there was something, and so forth in your life. But that has gone. You know, that passion for the Lord, that excitement for the things of God, that wanting to have more of God, it's no longer there. You know, but, you know, Jesus says, go back to your first love. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite the praise team to come on back up. And I want them to sing. You know, this message is like, I'm asking people to go back to the old past. And I'm asking people, well, you know, that responsibility is on the leadership, actually. You know, and I'm taking that challenge from the Lord. Because the Lord challenged me for it, with it, and I'm taking it. But I'm asking you to come with me to the good old paths and the good old ways. Lord, thy name is lifted high. And you have an army in these last days. Hallelujah. And they shall not break their ranks. Hallelujah. The Joel's army rising again. And Jesus, the captain of the Lord's host, is going ahead of them. And Father, O Lord, help each and every one of us. And help those of us, especially upon whom the mantle of this grace has fallen. You said, I will give them pastors after my own heart, that we may be true servants of the Lord in declaring the word of God and making sure the people don't go to the left or to the right, but to stay straight on the path and the paths of righteousness. And Father, we pray that you will give grace to everyone that hears these words. The Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. And take away the rebellious heart and the stony hearts, O Lord. This is the man to whom I will look, saith the Lord. He that is of a contrite and humble spirit, and that trembles at my word. And even as your word goes forth and has come to us and continues to go forth, help us to tremble at it and to receive it with grace into our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for the offering that is brought into the house of the Lord. We present it to you, Lord. We know that we cannot really give any gifts to the Lord, seeing that your hands have made all things, and seeing that the heavens and the earth and the cattle on 1,000 hills and so forth are yours. But Lord, out of the obedience to your word, we have brought this, and we ask that the blessing that follows obedience will follow everyone that has given in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.